Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Today on the Zabecast, Mike Francesa has finally pulled the plug on his Nemesis Twitter account. Back after this. Overdue or a fatal misstep? Andy Poland joins me. He'll have thoughts on weird ball ways to play seasons, plus the upcoming NFL fantasy draft, real draft, with chicken wing sauce on keyboards all around the league. All that, plus sometimes it takes a pandemic to bring out the truth. Your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, April 8, 2020, thank you for joining me.
Good morning, my neighbor!
Indeed, good morning.
Yes! Yes! You too!
Day 28 of the No Sports Apocalypse again. We will get through it. We got to, because we have no other choice.
You can get it done.
So let's stick together.
Done. What's more, you got to get it done.
Get it done. Andy Poland's going to help me get it done today. Thank you for downloading. All right. I got a text today from somebody who has been to the Big Cat Rescue in Florida. Johnny Hepp from Milwaukee says, Zabe, Big Cat Rescue is not far from the airport in Tampa. They advertise that they give educational tours. So my wife and I had a couple hours to kill before a flight. We said, what the hell? Let's go check it out. Let me tell you, bro, it's a strange, strange place for a supposed business-like operation. It was difficult to get anyone in the gift shop or ticket office to even acknowledge our presence. When they did, no one seemed to understand that they gave tours. I persisted, though, and someone poked their head through a door and said they were sold out, sorry, come back another time. We left confused, but we now understand that the list of people that might have wanted to kill someone there was probably very, very long, and who knows what security measures were in place. Dana White says he's got an island secured for MMA fights for the next month. And he's going to start cranking international fights through. Bing, 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 bing. This would be interesting if it happens. Could be interesting. We'll see. It got me to talking islands on the show in the afternoon on Tuesday. And people were just firing him in left and right. Epstein Island, Gilligan's Island, Ellis Island, the Island of Misfit Toys. Itchy and Scratchy Land was on an island. Somebody mentioned Sentinel Island. That's the island, I forget what part of the world it is, but it's so remote that the people who live there are such wary savages that there was like a group of mercenaries, not mercenaries. There's a group of, what am I thinking of the word? Evangelists? No. You know, where you go to proselytize and convert people. It'll come to me. I'm having a brain moment here. Anyway, there was a group of religious people who wanted to go and you know, bring the Bible to the island. And several of them were killed with bows and arrows shot from the shore. The people they had hired to run the boats close to the island were like, I don't know about this. And they got close enough. Next thing you know, they're under fire. And that was pretty much that. So on the island talk front, when it comes to possible MMA fights on an island during a pandemic, because damn it, you know, Dana White says the show must go on. Somebody said it sounds a lot like the movie The Rock was in 2007 called The Condemned. Throw them off helicopters in shackles into the ocean. Like they wouldn't drown immediately.
On a remote island, the most vicious form of illegal entertainment.
ME-182, people.
Is about to go online.
These contestants were already dead. Each was on death row. After 30 hours, I will set the last one left alive free.
The players.
So there you go. It's the Hunger Games concept. It's been done before, and there's nothing necessarily new to it. But, okay. Another movie to watch during quarantine and chill, if it's on whatever service you've got. And don't say, oh, I've got Netflix. I'm sure it's there. No, that's the problem. What we need is one service that has every single movie ever. If we could ever get to that, be a pretty good thing. Calling Andy's home number for possible better connection. We'll see if he answers.
Hello.
There he is. I had no idea if I was going to get Arlene or not, but what's shaking, Andrew?
I am watching the replay of the Cal Ripken game from 1995. And, boy, find Chris Berman less annoying 25 years ago.
Funny how that is, right? That time does that to us. So what's your big takeaway from watching that thing?
Well, one, not HD. I can't believe how I'm addicted to HD, and this is an inferior visual product. Other than that, it's a, you know, they had, Earl Weaver drop by the booth, and, Earl's wearing a white short sleeve dress shirt and a tie. I don't know what he was thinking for a baseball game, but I guess if he went to a game without a uniform, he didn't know what to wear. That was kind of odd. And, Bill Clinton has just left the booth. Did an inning with them. Yeah.
That was quite a moment for baseball, wasn't it? I mean, that was very significant because you're talking the 95 season. It's post-lockout, or it's, I'm sorry, not lockout, the post-strike year of 94, right, which wiped out the World Series and wiped out the first chunk of the 95 season, right?
Well, they played 144 games that year. They started late, and remember, the owners were prepared to go with strike players, with scabs. And Judge Sonia Sotomayor of the Supreme Court of New York State ruled that they couldn't use him, and that's when the game. Now, the interesting thing about Cal is that the Orioles did not field a scab team because Peter Angelo said, you know, we don't want the streak for Cal to break that way. And he said, don't worry, I wasn't going to cross the picket line anyway, so that wasn't going to be an issue. And if it ended, it ended. But, in fact, it ended in a different way.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know, with this latest little burble of news on Tuesday about a possible Arizona plan for baseball, which has a million possible challenges to it, and, like, you got to be crazy. It reminds you, Andy, at least it does for me, crazy shit has been done before, to get games going and to play games and to do seasons. You just said they wiped out the World Series after the players went on strike on August 12th of 94 with the Montreal Expos at 74-50, the best record in baseball, and or maybe 74-40 at the time. And the World Series was not played. The start of next year never happened, and it took a federal judge or a state Supreme Court judge at the time, Ms. Sotomayor, to say, okay, that's enough. But baseball was planning to go ahead with scabs. With scabs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, F.P. Santangelo, who does the Nationals games on
was
TV,
one.
That's how he got into baseball. And there were a few others like that. And also, you know, who knows? I think Michael Jordan would have eventually gone back to basketball, but that was the reason. He said, I'm not going to be a scab, and he decided to go back and play in the NBA.
There is also a split season once in Major League Baseball, and it ended up with some teams that had the best record missing the playoffs entirely. Or I think one team, I think it was St. Louis, might have had the best record combined, but because they missed on both ends of the split season, they were left out.
Right. Yeah, I remember that well. That was I was working actually in San Antonio then, and we had baseball because I was covering the Double-A Dodgers. And Tom Lasorda came to several of the games because he didn't have anything else to do. Baseball was on strike. And they actually resumed the season at the All-Star game. And the All-Star game was played in August in Cleveland. So that was the first game back, and they took the winners of the first half of the season playing the winners of the second half, and that's how they – that was really the first year of expanded playoffs. You know,
sure.
Because prior to that, you only had the division winners who played.
Yeah. The NBA had a grossly disfigured season after their lockout, in which they played, I think, a 50-game schedule, compressed schedule. So that's been done before. The NHL – didn't they miss a whole season one year?
A whole year. Yeah, it was supposed to be Alex Ovechkin's rookie year, and he played in Russia that year. They didn't have a season. Now, here was the really cool part of that. The following year, they weren't sure what to do about the draft because there wasn't anything to base it on based on the previous season. So you might have said, well, just start over again. The Capitals get the first pick again, right?
Right.
That's not the way it worked out, and I think they had a lottery, and it was Pittsburgh getting the number one pick, and it was Sidney Crosby. But can you imagine if they would have said, yeah, let's just do it the way we did it before,
right?
You have Crosby and Ovechkin on the same team.
That would have been something. And, of course, the NFL had multiple disfigured seasons in which two of them, our great Joe Gibbs, won the Super Bowl, one being the strike-shortened year of 82, right?
Yep.
In which they were out and missed a bunch of games. And they what was the total number of games in 82?
Well, they played nine games, and they wound up extending the season, I think, a week or so. But they had to get to the Super Bowl. It was a tournament. So even though the Redskins had the best record, they still had to win three playoff games in order to get to the Super Bowl, which they did. Also, during that season, TNT took advantage of the strike and put on strike games, like players from the NFL who were on strike. They had teams, and they played, I believe they played a game one night, it might have been in Washington, and
get
then
out.
They got on a plane and they flew out to L.A. and played another one. It wasn't very good football, but
no.
It was just, you know,
and then
put on.
And then, of course, in 87, the next time the labor war flared up, the NFL went ahead with scab players. And you had
and they were ready.
And,
yeah,
right, they
were
ready for that one, and we played football games that counted that were televised on network TV with truck drivers, parolees, and anyone they could scrape together. That was real.
Right.
That happened, and Joe Gibbs won a Super Bowl in that year as well. One of three Super Bowls he won with three different quarterbacks, none of whom, Andy, are in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Now, it's a tremendous coaching job, and also – because they took that scab stuff seriously, they put together a team that went 3-0.
Yes.
And there were other teams such as the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, that was a big union town, and Buddy Ryan was applauded for this, but Buddy wouldn't even look at the players.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Eagles went 0-3, and that may have cost them a playoff spot. You know, certain teams that took advantage of that really did well, and Gibbs was one of them.
And in the final week of the Scabs, the Redskins Scabs were able to beat a Cowboy team that had at least a dozen star players cross the picket line and play for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Dorsett, Randy White, they crossed the picket line. And again, Tex Schramm, the president of the Cowboys, was ready for this because he had contracts that I believe contained annuities or something like long-term investments for these players and told them, guys like Randy White, Tony Dorsett, you're going to lose those unless you come back. So right. Here they were crossing the picket line, and Gibbs managed to keep his guys together. And of course, you know, how interested was Tony Dorsett in playing in a game like that? How interested was Randy White?
Right.
You know,
they were there to collect a check, basically. Yeah, and they Now, with all of that as just a prelude and a table setter, Andy, I say the following: a baseball season that begins in Arizona with no fans, with a bunch of quarantine teams. I'll fucking take it, and guess what?
Yep.
It's not the most grotesquely distorted season we've ever had, necessarily. It's not. It's not. Well, it'll suck, but we have had so many grossly disfigured sports seasons, this would not be the worst, in my opinion.
Except for the fact that when the games were played, well, you could say the scab games were not,
At least there was fans.
Yeah, by and large, they were played like regular games. Now, you're talking here. Now, you know, think about how baseball is played. They're not going to have dugouts because you have to have social distancing.
So
they're going to be in the stands. But what happens in the dugout? Players spit. They spit all the time. And they spit sunflower seeds. I mean, it's a petri dish of disease. And you know, they're talking about the players being quarantined to a hotel, which does make some sense because that eliminates the locker room problem. It's just going to be like high school. These guys are going to walk out of the hotel in their uniforms, get on the team bus, play the game, get back on the bus all schmitzy, come back to the hotel, change. I guess they'll put their uniforms in a hermetically sealed bag, and the clubhouse guy will pick them up at the door of the room, like room service,
right.
and launder the
We'll butt. See. Maybe. We'll see. Like, we're just too far. We'll see what happens. We'll see how much it goes. All I'm saying is that whether it's MLB or the NBA or the NHL, whatever reconfigured, you know, meatball surgery is required to patch together a season, don't forget, we've had this before.
Yeah, yeah. But I think look, what they're talking about, too, is miking the players, which means baseball's looking at this as a real opportunity for television. Because what do we talk about every year with the World Series? Oh, look at the declining ratings. Wasn't the World Series great, but nobody's watching? This case, they'll have it to themselves. Yeah. I mean, this reboot of Mickelson and Tiger playing again, that didn't do very well last time.
No.
Right? This time, it's going to be huge if
it
happens.
I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're throwing cold water on that one. So we'll see about it. I got an email here from one Randall Moore of Columbus, Ohio. He writes to say, Steve, one percenter here and former caller to your morning radio show days back on Fox Sports, Yahoo, SB Nation, etc. I'm utilizing my Disney Plus subscription by going through old 30 for 30s on ESPN Plus that I've missed. And one of them was the year of the scab. Having only been 3 years old in 87, I never really took a deep dive into the player strike and had no knowledge about what was going on leading into that whole situation. My question is, could you go over this topic with Andy Poland? I'd love to get the story and memories from fans and local sports personalities of those 3 weeks in sports history. I really appreciate Mr. Redskins Encyclopedia and his thoughts on this. So, with that said, Andy, a little deeper dive into the scab 3 weeks.
Well, like I mentioned, there were some coaches who were into it, like Joe Gibbs, who managed to coach these guys. And in fact, Charlie Casserly, who is the general manager, says that may have been Gibbs' greatest coaching job. And one of the stories he likes to tell is, you know, on Saturday night, they have a meeting of the team, and they get the last pep talk, I guess, and they go over, you know, last minute assignments, and then there's a buffet that's put out. Well, you know, a lot of the players, you know, go out to dinner either before or after that, but he said he loved the fact that on the Saturday night buffet, it was picked clean by these scab guys. And this This is like, you know, in our business, free food in a radio station. You see how quickly it disappears. Sure. These guys were happy to get their free hamburgers and really appreciated that. So he liked that. There's also a great, great piece of video. Maybe on YouTube, where the Giants are playing the 49ers. Now, I believe the 49ers didn't make the playoffs that year. I know the Giants did not. And at one point, Bill Walsh runs the single wing. And Parcells is looking over from the sidelines, just busting out with laughter. And Bill Walsh throws his palms up in the air.
What am I supposed to do?
What are you going to do here?
Yeah. Right.
The other Redskin quarterback story is, and now his last name escapes me, but Ed Rupert was the starting quarterback. They had a guy that got out on prison release.
Tony, from Tennessee. Yes.
Yeah.
Tony Robinson. Yes. And they were like kind of gently trying to get him off of parole so he could come play for him.
Yeah, exactly. So he's on the team now. He isn't the starter. Ed Rupert, who went to Louisville and I guess had been in the Redskins training camp and was cut, so he knew the system. He played, but in that Cowboy game, he got hurt, and it was Tony Robinson who managed to save the day for them. And that was one of the really cool stories. The other thing about Rupert is he was from New York, and I remember working at WFAN when the strike was settled. And I got a call from somebody in the what we call the bullpen, the newsroom, and the woman on the other end said, "Did I hear right? Is this settled? Are the players coming back?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's right." And who's calling? She said, "Oh, this is Mrs. Rupert. I wanted to make sure my son was going to be having a job. It doesn't look like he will." Now, you have to remember this. This is how the owners took the players, just like a dog, and rubbed their noses in it. Because the players reported back the Wednesday. They said, you know, Tuesday night they had a deal. They were going to come back. Or Tuesday night they said, we're giving in. We're waving the white flag. And they were going to show up for work on Wednesday, which is usually the start of the work week. And the owner said, no. You're going to sit one more week watch this.
Yep.
And then you'll come back. And then you'll lose one more check.
Yeah.
So
all remarkable stuff. And it was real. It happened. The 30 for 30 is excellent on that. So definitely go ahead and watch it. You mentioned WFAN. Two big news stories out of your former radio station that you helped start back in 1994?
Oh, 87.
87, excuse me. Yes, you started TEM in 94 here in D.C.
92.
Thank you, Andy. 87, 87 in New York, WFAN, the first all-sports format in radio where people were like, what will they talk about all day long? And sure enough, we found a way to talk about all that stuff and more for all day long. John Minko, as part of radio giant Entercom's slashing of jobs amid the pandemic and maybe just because they wanted to lose some weight, John Minko, who had been there forever, took a buyout with the station. He was like one of the originals. And
that
news, along with Mike Francesa finally throwing down and saying no more replaying of my clips by his Twitter account nemesis back after this. I'll play this minute and 28 second clip. That has a little bit of both in it from last week, from this week.
One thing I wanted to do that I've been meaning to do as an example, and we've been planning this for a while, but this will be part of the show every day from now on, something we've been planning, and that is the other day we
get to the
I did
point.
An open that was
Jesus.
Viewed 2.4 million times in different places and used illegally in a bunch of places too. So we've been planning this for a long time. This copyrighted broadcast and telecast is presented by the authority of Entercom, Radio.com, and WFAN, and may not be reproduced or retransmitted without the express written consent of Entercom Communications Corporation and Radio.com. And that means anybody. You want to go get video of me or see part of the show, go to Radio.com. Every one of my programs are there, audio and video. No one else can reproduce the audio or video of this program again without written permission from Entercom.
So there it is right there, him basically closing the gate on back after this. It was his rant about Trump, who he claimed to be buddies with, that went viral, and he decided or Entercom decided we're going to finally shut down back after this. Back after this has been chronicling Francesa's missteps, his prank calls, his lying ways about, I never said that, for what, 5 years now?
At least. And he's claiming he didn't have anything to do with it. It was an intercom decision
What do you think?
One of the good theories I heard was that somebody from Trump's administration heard it, or Trump himself heard it, and these guys are allies. I mean, Francesa has known Trump as a friend long before he became president. And I guess it got back to Francesa that Trump was pissed. So that's what fun, because he's been taking one punch after another from these guys for 5 years.
Sure.
And he'll, once in a while when he's challenged, he'll say, oh, they doctored the audio, or they messed around with things. But he hasn't lashed out and said, this has got to stop. So that may have been the final straw, that his relationship with Trump, who I guess he's looking forward to golfing with whenever the president leaves office, whether it's this year or 4 years from now. And maybe that's the reason. I have no other reason to. Why now? Why was this the last straw?
I don't know. Is it? I mean, Francesa's career is virtually over anyway, so does it matter? But I mean, he basically shredded, he cut the cord on whatever relevance he had outside of his like hardcore supporters. Right? Like, so many people had no idea who he was until they saw these clips.
Yeah, but if you only watch the clips, you think he's an imbecile. And
so what?
He is.
So what? You know who he is. Isn't it fall under the any publicity is good publicity?
I don't think at this point, and, you know, the guy's 65 years old. I mean, he for whatever you think of him now, I don't admire him as a person personally. He has achieved the highest level of success in our business. I don't think there's anybody else who's been as successful in sports radio as Mike Francesa.
Strictly sports radio, no. If you count the TV pundit talking heads like Coward and Bayless, then that's a different realm. But yeah, basically, you can't argue with that. And then there is John Minko, who has been an update guy in WFAN from the start. He took a buyout. This was him with Joe and Evan the other day.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, because it's all true. Everyone who has said it knows it's true, and that's the great John Minko. Mink, congratulations on a Hall of Fame career, my friend.
Brilliant career, Mink. Thank you very much. It's been some run at FAN, and obviously sad to have it come to a close here, you know, there's so many memories that we'd be here forever.
All right. The Mink Man, as they call him, Andy. Give people his story.
Well, he's a guy who came up through the ranks like a lot of people, went to Butler University and worked for some smaller radio stations. He actually had gone to school with a couple of the original owners of the radio station, MS Broadcasting, and they knew him and they liked him and they hired him. It was a very much of an entry job. He was in his early 30s. And he was doing weekend updates. In those days, we used to do them every 15 minutes. And you have to recognize that there was no internet, so you couldn't check scores on your phone. The big competition for WFAN was two things. WINS, which was the all-news station, did 15 and 45. And nobody would really understand this if you're not over the age of, let's say, 40, maybe even 50. Sports phone. In New York, there was a telephone number that you could call for 50 cents a call that would give you all the scores. And among the people who worked for it, Howie Rose, Linda Cohn, a couple others that got their start there. And so they thought, well, we'll appease the people who want to get scores, including the gamblers, so come on every 15 minutes. And Mink and I and the Ed Coleman, who's still at the station, did it. Susan Waldman, who does the Yankee games.
Right.
He was an original update person. Mark Boyle, my friend from a long time, has been the Indiana Pacers voice for over 30 years. We were all original update people. And Minko was a survivor. They had cutbacks, and I was unfortunately involved in that. He stayed on, and he stayed on forever, and he put his ego aside. You know, he was willing to do whatever they asked.
You said he got you fired.
Well, not exactly. I mean, he was a survivor in part, I would say, and this is to take nothing away from his ability or the fact that he's a good guy and a very hard worker, but the relationship with the owners was definitely in his favor at that point. And that's, you know, among, and I think he would tell you that was among the reasons that he did survive that big cutback.
Well, that's true. You have to navigate these the waters of the business and the career, and you have to bite down hard sometimes and make choices that you might not want to make, right?
Yeah. And look, he had a great run there. Plus, you know, it's sometimes who you get hooked up with. And, you know, I had a lot of success with you, and I had success with Tony Kornheiser, and I would not have had that on my own. So being with them, was you and Tony, was helpful. Plus, with Minko, he was the update guy for Mike and the Mad Dog for most of their run. So, you know, that's not too shabby right there. That's a pretty good ride, yeah. That's getting in a nice car and being a good passenger.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know, when you have success and you're in a place for a long time, it becomes comfortable. But then when it ends, it's harder. It's almost a good bit of advice, maybe, if I could give it, that you should move ahead of the posse in your career if possible.
If possible, but there's a part of you that says, hey, this is a good job. I'm comfortable here. Let me do the best job I can. Well, sometimes that's not good enough. Minko's 67. He would have been talking about retiring anyway. So he wound up leaving maybe 3 or 4 months early. Yeah. It wasn't a real jarring thing for him.
All right. And then I got this for you. Have you seen the quarantine house theme going around on Twitter?
Oh yes, who you would like to be quarantined
six,
with?
Six houses, six media personalities. Which house would you choose? And this was done by Awful Announcing. They did a great job of balancing out the assholes with the hot women. So you really had to think about it. Here's the houses. Ready? House one: Stephen A. Smith, Jim Nance, Rob Stone, Jay Billis, Doris Burke, Pam Oliver.
Wow, if you could get Stephen A. out of there, that's a pretty good house.
House two: Skip Bayless, Al Michaels, James Brown, A-Rod, Aaron Andrews, and Rachel Nichols.
Whew, some really great people in there. James
Bayless,
Brown, I worked with.
Bayless would ruin
Bayless,
it. I think
Bayless hurts
it.
You. But
and A-Rod is a total douche, but maybe he'd pay for things.
But JB is ultra nice and big. I mean, and JB was a great athlete at the Matha, and I think studied jujitsu, so he could actually kill people if they got out of hand.
Do you think Aaron Andrews in a quarantine house would like get over herself and be down to earth and fun, or would she be a princess?
I don't know. Hard to say. Does anybody really know her? Does anybody say Aaron Andrews is my friend?
Not a whole lot that I know of. I think she shrouds herself a little bit in mystery, and obviously the hotel incident probably caused her to withdraw quite a bit. House number three: Colin Cowherd, Chris Fowler, Bill Simmons, Dick Vitale, Carissa Thompson, Rebecca Lowe.
No. 100 times. That's the worst lineup I've heard yet.
Why? Cowherd is a real... You know, guys, listen. I'm the one that should be doing this. Yeah. He would annoy you. Would Vitale annoy you?
Oh, yes. Because Vitale needs constant attention.
Baby, what are we doing today? Quarantine house.
He's like the dog that wants to climb in your lap all the time. You know,
House four: Mike Francesa, Doc Emrick, Brian Kenny, Tony Romo, Michelle Tafoya, Katie Nolan. That would be my house because Francesa would quickly retreat to his own room and not come out. And then I'd have a good group of five people.
Yeah, although Francesa can cause disturbances I like Chris Russo. I've known him since he was a part timer at WFAN and one of the best guys I've ever met in this business. And the fact that he had problems with Mike and Mike had problems with him.
That tells you all you need to know about Mike. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Yeah. House five: Shannon Sharp, Joe Buck, Ernie Johnson, Bill Raftery, Onions, Maria Taylor, and Jessica Mendoza.
All good. And boy, Raftery, I've been around him. He seems like salt of the earth guy. That's a good house. That sounds good to me.
And then Max Kellerman, Mike Breen, Kurt Menefee, Charles Barkley, Tracy Wolfson, Mina Kimes.
Ooh, that's
kind of
good.
Boring, I mean, though. Breen and Menifee would be boring. Kimes does nothing for me. Tracy's a sweet lady. Barkley would be pretty good. Kellerman's a douche.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny. And Mike Breen, I worked with at WFAN, also very, very nice guy. I like him very, very much. That's a good house, too. I'd be okay with that.
You know, I'm going to do a DC media personality house list for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I hope there's no feathers that are ruffled in this, but we'll see.
Of course, DC sports media continues to shrink by the day, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, God.
There was a time when you had three kingpins on TV. Now you can't name any of the sports people on TV.
Tis a shame, Andy, but we roll with the punches. As always, thanks for your time, brother. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Stay
pal.
Bye-bye. All right, let's end on this today. Sometimes it takes a pandemic for the real truth to come out. A sign was posted. I'm not sure what city this is. Let me take a closer look. Cambridge, Mass. Sign that says, do not push the walk signal button. The signal will come on automatically. For information on the city's response to COVID-19, visit cambridge.gov, COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, somebody tweeted, coronavirus brings out the truth. So is that walk button truly a placebo, or does it actually help initiate a quicker sequencing of the walk sign? I have no idea. I have no idea why with everybody locked inside, you'd have a problem getting across the street. There's no cars. There's no traffic, right? But yeah. And of course, you could push it with your elbow. You could kick it with your shoe. You could tuck your finger inside your shirt and push it. But then I guess you could get the coronavirus on you that way. Who knows? I just love the fact that, yep, the truth is out. That button doesn't do shit. Don't push it. The walk signal will come on automatically. All right, that is a wrap for today. Thank you for downloading, for sharing a half an hour with me. Remember to sign up for Fridays. It's not free, but it's cheap, about 16 cents a day. It helps keep me motivated, energized, and doing this for you out there. And I certainly appreciate all of my Friday subscribers. Rate and review so our algorithmic overlords bless this podcast, and tell a friend who likes good things in their ears, as I like to say. Have a great Wednesday, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow.